Well, good morning, everybody. We've had a treat last week with Benoit being here, and what we've been going over lately, talking about finances and money and how this applies to us, right? I want you to turn with me this morning to, first of all, to Proverbs chapter 12. We're going to start off. So we've been talking about how's this going to work out for us, right? Because this stuff is easy to get pushed to the back of our mind. I know I spoke to Luke about that. It really does. In the day-to-day life, it's easy to get pushed to the back of our minds. Proverbs 12, we're going to be in, let me make sure, check my notes here. Verse 24. The hand of the diligent will rule, the slack will be put to forced labor. See this word diligent? The diligent prosper. But there's something involved with this word diligent, because it has to do with time, right? So excellence over time. That's what I mean, be diligent. Excellent over time. How much time do each of us have? Do we know? No, we don't. Does that mean we shouldn't plan? I think it'd be foolish not to. See, because in our workings, this isn't going to be easy. What would be worth it if it was easy? If you came out and won everything easy and it didn't push you, what joy would there be in that, right? So, taking this back to where we are financially, how is this going to sit with us long term? We've kind of went over what? Like, where we're at, kind of how to get out of that in our debt. But moving forward, where do we plan? What do we think? I've heard it a couple different ways. Some people's like, spend all your money right now because you know what? You're not going to have it. This place is crumbling. Okay, take the valid point, but I don't think those principles are anywhere in God's Word. I don't think He says to spend it all now. Because you look at principles from the Old Testament, you look at Joseph, what did they do? They had to store up for the bad years, didn't they? You look at the fields. Now, because you were a Jew, you got to participate in this. Because you're an Israelite, like, you had a couple bad years, guess what? You still had the corner of a field where you could at least get some food, right? These principles are set up. So how do we set this up long term for us?
Good. Justin, I like this verse from Proverbs 21:20. It makes your point really well. It says, there's precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up.
Right.
So that says it. I mean, you can't say it more clearly than that. What the Bible says is it's the foolish man who just says, well, let's just spend it all.
Right. And you know what? It's hard not to spend it all in this day, isn't it? Because everything keeps going up. But you know what we need to do? We need to pray like it all depends on God and work like it all depends on us. Because if you're always waiting for someone to cover your back, you're not going to be working as hard as you need to be. So these are things we need to take pretty seriously. So looking long term, after you've got out of debt, right? So we're out of debt by now, right? All of us out of debt. Should be, right? All right. You younger people should not be in debt yet. If you are, please come talk to me. So we're working our way. We've got out of debt, and now what? We still have our home mortgage left. So what do? You're like, I dump everything towards home mortgage. Blech. Home mortgage, right? And these are some principles that I've actually taken. I don't endorse the guy as a Christian, but these are principles that are taken out of Dave Ramsey because they work. Not because it is something that I uphold this guy as being all financially wise, because honestly, I don't know the guy. I don't know where he stands spiritually. But there's a couple things that make me raise some flags. But the guy knows what he's talking about when it comes to managing his finances. You look at his track record, first of all. and you look at the people that help. So some of these principles do come from that program. If you've never heard of that, I suggest checking it out. There's a lot of good information, a lot of good tools to be able to help you be able to start. So, what's our wealth building tool? What's our wealth building tool? Our income. Right? I'm not talking about right now on the spiritual level. I'm talking about right now. I mean, ultimately, this is where this pushes to. This is our goal. But right now, I'm talking about what's our wealth building tool and what's our plan going long term. Some of us in the crowd may have even gotten to that age where we're almost close to retirement, right? Some of us still have 30 years at least or more. I don't really plan on stop working. But there is a point where I'm going to be restricted to what I'm going to be able to do. So some people like to, rely on the government because they're great with their finances, right? Yeah, they can really balance a budget. Yeah. That's why everybody's in debt before they're even born. I mean, so bad plan. Don't be relying on Social Security to be able to help pay your bills when you get older. Okay? So, at some point, you need to be able to set a certain percent aside. A good rule of thumb is being able to save 15% of your income when you have your house payment left. 15%. So, I wrote some figures down here. A 30-year-old couple. This is a couple right now. This is what they're bringing in together. 30-year-old couple, $48,000 a year. Save 50% in a 401k. They get a 12% return on that. 12% return. Which is, in some pretty good 401k. If you're getting 12% return. I mean, they might match six. They might match what you put in. Some companies have up to 6%. They do, which is really exceptional. I know I had that with Baker Hughes. A 12%. So that's $600 a month they'd have to save. 15%. $7,200 a year they'd have to save. Anybody have a clue of what they would be at when they retired? The roundabout number. They'll have invested $288,000 total at age 70 if they stop doing this, from 30 to 70. So that's 40 years, right? $7 million. If you look at those, you're like, whoa. I like the way Dave Ramsey puts it. Even if I was half wrong. Even if I was half wrong, you think you'd be able to live off of that? You think you'd be able to do things for the gospel with that? Yeah, I think so. But here's the thing. $48,000 for 40 years. What happens when you get a raise? Does your 15% change, or you just still keep saving the same amount that goes into it? So do we think about those things like, hey, our income goes up because I got a raise? Because if you don't get a raise in 40 years, I'm sorry, you must be doing something wrong. You might be asking where your stapler is. Anybody see my stapler? A joke from a movie. Anyway. Anyways. Yeah, so this is some things we need to pay attention to. We're used to just, I'm plug and chug, right? Just keep going. Things we have to pay attention to. What happens if you get old enough to retire and you're going to work hard, keep on working hard for the Lord? Well, if you're an elder, a qualified elder, you might be in a paid position. But that depends on where you're going to be at. You don't know where you're going to be at. Do you know how much your income is going to be for that? You probably don't. You ask anybody who's been preaching for a long time, do they know what their income is going to be all the time? For a period of time. But they don't, because that depends on something bigger, doesn't it? Well, it depends on God. But I can tell you what, the people who always work like that, normally don't have anything to worry about. Because they're the ones who are giving their time. I'll go into that next week, but the following week. I'm going to be gone next week, so I'm going to have some informational videos for you. But so we're back to 15%, right? What are we going to do with this? How are we going to get paid? Well, people say, well, we need to invest this, right? We need to invest it. Well, people say, oh, you need to be diverse. Well, what does that mean? Spread it around, right? Pile of manure sits in a pile. It doesn't do anything. But you spread it around, it might grow something, huh? You know? These are things we need to pay attention to.
I don't know if you were going to follow up with a verse on that or not, but I always thought of Ecclesiastes 11. You have that in there?
Yep.
Okay, I'll wait. I'll wait for you.
No, 11:2 is where I was going to start.
Yeah. I was just going to read verses 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Cast your bread on the surface of the waters, for you will find it after many days. Divide your portion to 7 or even to 8, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth.
Hey, there's more of that planning in there, isn't it? More of doing something with it, right? So, but you know what? We have to be excited about this. Not only excited about being able to have these short-term goals that we can accomplish, but being excited to be able to, how are we going to participate as a body as a whole as we get to older. Like, how many people do we have coming up in the generation that's coming up? Are we going to make them go through the same lessons that we have to learn? Because then guess what? The church has gotten where? Oh, you guys figure it out again. You figure out how to make your money. Instead of using it as a springboard like people have used in the past to move us forward, to pass this education on at a young age. Because those of you younger people who are out there who are thinking about college, so one thing you should know, you should not take out a loan. It does not guarantee you anything. Certificate doesn't guarantee you anything. You know what makes you successful? Knowledge. You know how you're going to be good with the scriptures? Knowledge. Some people can retain knowledge really well. I kind of have to have cheat sheets. But we need to think about these things as we move forward. And guess what? People are like, oh, they need to concentrate on their studies. Like parents, they're going to send their kids to college. They need to concentrate on studies, right? They need to work while they're in college. You look at the statistics of people that work while they're in college, and they get better grades. You know why? Because you learn how to manage your money and manage your time. These are things that we get to be able to pass on to people who are younger. And then other things about, like, going out of state, not a good idea. Why should you pay out-of-state fees? Very expensive. What about practicing for SATs and ACTs? How does that plan out? Because you can practice for it as many times as you want, right? You know what that gets you? More scholarships, because you place higher on them. Huh, free money. Everybody likes free money, right? Like, oh, here's $100. Nah, I don't. That's okay, I don't want it. You keep it. So these are the type of things we need to put in our brain as we move forward, and we're thinking about the people that are coming up. How are we communicating this to people? Because you get kids that end up going to college. You have one that goes to college for what? 4 years, and they graduate. Maybe 5 if they're diligent. 4 if they're diligent, maybe 5. Just 1 sec, Dave, I'll be with you. Okay, so guess what? You go to college. What's your next plan? You want to get married. two people have how many thousand dollars in debt getting together? And then guess what? You're going to get married and that's all going to go away? I don't think so.
You got to be careful with that going to college too. I mean, it's a good idea to go to college, but as you were saying, you know, you go for these higher achievements and higher test scores. All that does is get you book smart. It doesn't get you any experience in the real world. And like in the line of work that I'm in, I know even for a lot of mechanics, you know, you got to go to school to learn what you're doing. But the real test is in the hands-on. Because if you don't have hands-on experience, book smarts ain't going to do you much good.
You know, I appreciate that because I went to a tech school. You know what I learned from that? How to do more math. I learned some basic stuff, but there's nothing that I learned in the field.
Yeah, I think it's a real interesting challenge and something our young people need to think about and as adults and, like you said, passing on to the next generation. I mean, things have definitely changed as far as what a college degree does for you. But at the same time, there's a lot of people that they're working for minimum wage, and they don't really have a means of making more. I remember John Morancic one time, a conversation I had with him that, you know, he basically told me until he went and got his degree, I think it was a technical degree, but he never got paid close to what he was worth until he had that. And so there's definitely some advantages, too, I mean, for depending on what you do and what your skill set is and what you're good at. But I think the, you know, what you're talking about is, hey, put some thought into it and don't go into debt through the process. We do all have to, we're going to work anyways. Everybody's going to work. And so if there's a way we can find to make more money with our time, it just makes sense to do that. So I think basically I'm saying college should be an option. We should think about it. We shouldn't just put it off the table because some things, again, depending on your skill set, if you don't have a degree, you're not going to be able to do it.
Sorry. Thank you for that. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, lasso Mrs. Love there. if there's young people listening or anybody considering school or anything, actually, it's just as a principal, as a good, sharp consumer, and that's what you're trying to address right now. If you can't qualify for conventional financing on a house, you have to do a contract for deed, you're paying more for the house in the market. If you can't afford to go to school or have a little bit of money to get started in school and to work like you're saying, you're paying more than you need to for the school. If you want to buy a car and you can't qualify for conventional financing and everybody's approved as the ad that you see because you want or need to have transportation, that's kind of a given now. You just can't walk to work anymore, right? You're paying more than you need to for the transportation. So part of being smart, even if you are going to go a certain direction, at least try to get the least amount of cost for it. And one extra side note, no extra charge. For instance, sometimes there are demands in the marketplace for people that there's not a lot. Now I want to give you one. This, like I said, is no charge. You have to be flexible in your thinking about what I want to do. No, I don't want to do toilets. Okay? So here's one for you. I'm building up the suspense. But right now, today, if you want to be a pharmacy tech, there are Walgreens, CVS, and all those guys will pay for you the training to do that particular job. And that job is anywhere is above the minimum wage once you get all your certifications. And then after you complete your agreement with the employer, then you're free to go somewhere else. And as you gain your experience, you started out above market. Now that you got 5 years behind you, now you're another $10 above market. Now you may not be a pharmacist where he went and buried himself $150,000 and, you know, on school loans to be the title, but you get to help him at 75 and you've got less out of pocket.
All right. I appreciate that because the truth in that is really you get more bang for your buck.
Yeah.
And it is what he's really saying.
Choice, so you're yeah. More efficient with your time.
Yeah, more efficient with your time. And, you know, and some of us have to recognize our own abilities too. Not everybody can go say, I want to be an engineer and actually be a good engineer. You know, like there's a lot of things I can do, but I'm probably not that good at it. So I kind of like, okay, I might need some help with this. You know? So back to, I appreciate you guys' comment on that. You know, part of the people are like, well, how do we make our money grow? How do we make our money work for us? If you are in a place where you do get 401k, do not touch that. Because guess what? You have this little part at the top that you've put in, and all this is growing underneath it, and you start taking that out, it takes chunks of that can't grow from that. I'm not saying that we can't be smart about how we look at those things. But guess what? If you look at any of the markets, it's a roller coaster, isn't it? You know how you're going to get hurt? You jump off it. Really? It's going to go up and down, right? That's another reason why I like to bring it, like Ecclesiastes 11:2, you know, that I had in there. Hey, don't put everything, what's this saying? Oh, all your eggs in one basket. You know? What Lorenzo was doing here this morning? No. I'm just joking. So, do you know that what is it? 42% of people in the United States, 42 have never tried to calculate their retirement. Another 10% have tried, but didn't follow through with it. So how does that add up in our planning? We have a long-term goal, and sometimes we may not be able to see the end of that, but you got to have a plan. Hey, you have a plan, the Lord directs your steps. You seriously think the army that we're trying to, that he is leading, that we're a part of, he's going to let fail? I'd say no. Are we going to have to learn some lessons along the way? Yeah, some lessons that kind of hurt a little bit. You know? But we need to start thinking about these things as where the church is going. Long term. You know, I don't know if you remember, I don't even know if it's still on there, but the bulletin when I was a kid in Bozeman used to say on the bottom of it, there's this little phrase on every one of us, every one of them, get us out of debt personally and as a congregation. And I never really stuck with me until I started learning some things. And I was like, he's putting that there. Did they still put that there, Matt? No, it's still not there? What can we do with the Word of God when we get freed up? We talk about budgets and we talk about, oh, I just feel chained down. Hey, that's a work that's going into the front side so that you can be free. We have opportunities that arise, that come up. Are we free enough to be able to take those opportunities? Someone needs to go somewhere. Because we have some great contacts, and we have some people that are excited about the true Word of God. Are we able to send them there? Are we able to support people that are going to shepherd the flock, elders? See, by us looking at these goals long term, we're going to be able to push this to a point to where, you know what? It's a tool that we get to use. Because if you're just strictly, if you say, I wouldn't think this would be coinciding with the character of the qualifications of an elder, but to say, well, I'll be able to make my living off the gospel when I'm older, right? Because this is what I'm shooting for. Careful in your planning. You might be able to eat. Or are you going to be able to pay for someone else's pie that you're meeting with them to talk about some things that are very important? They're going to help guide them.
I probably shouldn't say this, but if I had to do over again, I think I'd figure out a way to have income and and so if you ever think about preaching, have a way to make money.
It's very smart in the way. I mean, and see what I'm talking about? Some people that maybe a little younger, we're kind of thin today. But see what I'm talking about is being able to support the whole body. Like he's, Luke said he would think about doing things a little different. Because ultimately we don't know what's coming down the pike. But we got to have a plan. We got to be able to look at it logically and look at our own abilities too. What can I do extra here? You know, because if you don't have a house payment and you're making at least 60 grand a year, you're doing okay. Because guess what? You have money to set aside and you have also money to give. This is the type of planning that people get. This is where America has gone to where they get so discouraged. Like, oh, gosh, I don't even want to think about it. Because it just feels like this heavy burden we're going to be carrying around forever. Like, I can't get unshackled from these chains. We've been unshackled spiritually. God has put us as his ambassadors. Why not do it financially? Because it's hard? Yeah. Might not get to go see a show every so often anymore. Because we have to buckle down, right? I'm not saying you should, because you live on a budget, you can't do things. Because that isn't really what, if you look at it, what it's designed to do. It's to guide you so that you're freed up. I mean, I don't know about you, but I get frustrated when there's someone who needs help and I'm not able to help them. Like, I see a need. I don't know about you, but I like to give people things. I like to be able to help them. You think God likes to be able to help us? Let's go down. Let's see. I didn't really hit on anything, and I may have touched on some of this before, about false balances. Proverbs 11 talks about this. Sec, John. Proverbs 11 talks about this, having a false balance. That doesn't mean we need to, right? So we need to be honest in our business, too. This is part of being a Christian and being able to show how to do things from God's point of view.
Just to bounce off of what Mark was saying, it's like, I think a young person should focus on finance rather than, oh, I'd love to be a ski instructor or whatever. You know, shop around. That's an opportunity. Maybe you weren't thinking about that for something that you were going to do, but that right there would afford you an early retirement with a good future and health benefits, all that stuff. That's what's important. Not, well, what you love. You should like you're saying. Base it on finance.
I think that's a really good point, and I appreciate you bringing that up, because we often base things on our wants. Look when we go shopping. If you don't have a list written before you go to the grocery store, you go through the grocery store and you base it off of what you want instead of what you need. Now, if you've already made a list and you go to the grocery store and you already know what you have in your house, you know what you need in order to make the meals, right? So, being able to put that on, where do we want to go in the long term, is what John's really referring to. Because this is hard to get people excited about wanting to do it. It's one of them things that you get busy. don't you? You get busy, you're like, oh gosh, I'm tired, worried about this. Guess what? I got another problem with this. This is why there's people that have gone through. You know, Jay did a great thing of being able to set up a pattern for someone to be able to run who's never not done really good at being able to present the gospel to somebody, right? In a logical form and fashion. Why not do the same thing with finances? Why not, in a logical form and fashion, go through something that helps us be able to encourage one another? That's one of the reasons why I brought up some of the Dave Ramsey stuff. Like I said, I don't really know exactly where he is, but spiritually. But, you know, there is a plan there that's easy for anybody to work.
And you're making my wheels spin today, but two things you said I think are both that are really important. You know, you and John Morantic, you know, talking about like where we want to go. And you think about spiritually, everything that we do, like we figured out our eternity. And then we're working backwards and planning according, you know, and then I think, I remember if it was Kierkegaard and then I think Pascal both, he kind of took from that. But, you know, they said, I've learned to define my life backwards and live it forwards. And we understand that spiritually, like we have eternity in mind. And then we got to make sure that our steps are lining up there every day to get there. But the principles, sometimes like there's a disconnect for me, and what you're talking about makes perfect sense. Like we think this way in reference to eternity. We should think this way for our life too, that go together. And then the second thing that you're talking about is, you know, duplication. Some of the guys in this congregation that are good teachers. I mean, one of the things I think we could do better at is to take the stuff that we have and make it then duplicate, like something that somebody could easily turn around and follow themselves. And so, you know, some of us that maybe have an interest in these things, to be able to, you know, I know my dad's got one chapter in Cleansing the Inside of the Cup where he deals with finances a little bit and goals, but it's not comprehensive. You know, what you're talking about, like Dave Ramsey has this comprehensive thing. But in the body of Christ, maybe that's something else we can think about, is stuff that we have interest in and that we're good at teaching. Do it in a way that's going to be a useful tool for people to be able to follow that track to run on. I think those are both important things you said.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
And at the same time, you got to be teachable. You know, you got to be willing to learn from what the people are trying to teach you, instead of saying, oh, I can do this my way, and, you know, have to learn life lessons your own way. Learn from the people that's done it before you.
Right. Yeah, and that's what I was kind of referring to off of being able to springboard some of the younger generation coming up, because we got a battle to win. We got to move this forward.
Yeah, I guess along the same lines is to, especially to the young people, my encouragement would be to learn more than one trade. Have more than one skill. Any opportunity that you have to be involved in a project that you think you might have some abilities and some interests, ask if you can be a part of it. And the more diversified we are in our skill sets, the better off and the better position we'll be in when things change abruptly. You're a good example of that. You know, what you went to school for and studied and had an experience in just kind of through no fault of your own fell through, and you had some other abilities, and so we need to be open to that as well. You young people should be working very, very hard all the time, diligently, work while you can. That's the other thing, because when you get to be like my age, you can slow down a little bit, sometimes not by choice, but work hard when you can.
You know, I appreciate that comment, especially the working hard where you can. When I was a little bit younger, I used to be able to work for over a month straight, 12 hours a day, no problem. Show up, still be able to work. Yeah, I was starting to feel it towards the end of the month, but now if I try that, I might be running into some issues of having to really work on my attitude. Yes, and I have a wife and kids at home that need my attention. Our whole society has gone on to, like, we get something without working for it, right? We're gonna, because that's the way people, and I'm gonna bounce back to this as far as with the whole college thing. Like, hey, like, I get to go to college now, and I don't have to worry about this because I'm gonna have a great job. Okay, that's a pretty shallow plan. Just saying. I actually made a mistake my first time I went to college of taking out some loans. And it took me and Jennifer, we were married, we started basically on a budget after the first year we were married. And we've been married 11 years now. And I realized that it took us 3 more years for us to get the college loans paid off just because of where we were. Three more years of paying out something that I could have been investing somewhere else that was going to make me money. Now I like to try to put this up on a pedestal, like, oh, you got to make money, you got to make money. Hey, this has got to be a life or death situation. Isn't it like that with us, with the gospel? This is life or death. He was talking about the principles that get applied. How about applying those principles in all areas of our life? Like, hey, you're going to be either the hunted or the hunter. Right? What do you want to be? You want to keep trying to outrun that debt most of your life? It doesn't sound fun to me.
Another thing to keep in mind, too, when you start into the workforce, it doesn't matter really if you've gone to college or not. You're not going to start out making the same amount of money that the top dogs do. You got to start at the bottom and work your way up, just like everybody else.
You know, and that's honestly, as situations change in your life too, that gets hard. I can guarantee it was hard for me to swallow because I was making good money doing what I was doing. And now, guess what? I'm not really high where I am now. So,
you know, his comment, I'm just going to make this. If you read about Walter Scott, he didn't end up with a lot of investment money at the end. And that's going to lead up to my next comment here. It's one of the curses of having the electronic Bible. You can find words like, I've read Proverbs, you know, every day, and I write it down on my other reading, and I've read that laziness, I don't know how many times, and you just think about it, or slack. Well, it has a spiritual connotation. I found this word here in Jeremiah 48, and it kind of hits home, and maybe with some people else too, it might. It says, cursed be the one who does the Lord's work negligently, and cursed be the one who restrains his sword from blood. And I write that, and I think about that, and I'm thinking about my scabbard, and I'm thinking spiritually, and about the, I could say I've drawn blood a little time every once in a while in the workplace, you know, but it's been many a year now where I've had to have a sit down with somebody and actually go through the whole process like I did when I first began in Christianity. And I can tell you, just from my own position, I'm thinking, could I have done things better? That's like the questions you're asking now. Could I have done better? Could I have set myself up? And I know, if you're in the church, I don't really know if you're going to have a 50-year career at IBM because of market influences and thing. And 12% now, some people would say that's kind of a real dream there. But what I'm trying to point out is that we have a mission, we have a team, and we're better than SEAL Team 6 when we go out with our purpose. And I know just from what you brought up today and me doing this word search and me sharing it with everybody, I'm going to be looking even harder at what my schedule is on what I'm doing and how purposeful and how much focus I'm going to be in the future. And I thank you for that.
I appreciate your wisdom and insight on, because, you know, some of you guys have been through this stuff. I know have been down this road further than I have. I just like to be able to try to encourage everybody to be able to all of us work together, you know. We each have a goal. Do you have someone that you're accountable to? Because who in here would give their checkbook to somebody and let anybody in the congregation look at it? You might be like, yeah, I don't want you to look at it, because then you can see where I'm spending, right? I challenge everybody, if you're not on, if you don't have a budget, try it for at least 6 months. At least 6 months. Find yourself on it. You might be kicking. You might not like it when you're on it, when you first start it. You might be struggling with some other issues as far as that. But if you don't have it written down, it's not staring you in the face. You don't have it staring back at you, looking, letting you know where you really are. Because isn't that what the Bible does to us? As you go through proof, it stares us in the face and lets us know where we're really at eternally, doesn't it? Why not do that? Why not carry those principles through? Let us see where we are. Because great things can be accomplished when we set our mind to it. And even greater things when we have Almighty God in our corner. Like, if I'm going to continue, what does Steve say? If I continue doing what I'm going to do without the Holy Spirit, then what are we doing? So I want to encourage everybody on this, take a look at it. Keep in mind where you are. If you have a spouse, work with them. Communicate. Hey, it's a big communication thing. Work back and forth, right? You got to sit down and talk about, oh, we're spending money here. You know, it's even more communication. What about the communication with us in the body? I think we can do great things, but I just want to keep encouraging everybody. And that's all I have for you this morning, so I'm going to leave it right there. Next week, I do have an informational video. I think it points out some great things. It's going to be on, because people have asked about mortgages and stuff before. So it's going to give some more in-depth information on that, probably better than I could explain it to, just because everything runs through my head and I'm trying to speak. So that'll be next week. And then the week after that, I'll be finishing up. And we're going to be doing that on the giving part. So, all right. Thank you.